Yeah. It's a newly branded Lou Capetta Show, formerly Another Mediocre Podcast. I decided to put my name on it. It's the same great show, just a new name, a better name. This beat you're hearing is by my man in Richmond, New Jersey, recording artist and producer extraordinaire. Shout out to him. And this week, my guest is a young woman by the name of Jane Cobb. Maybe you know her, maybe you don't. But she is an adult film star, cam model. She makes her own adult videos, stuff like that. So she's in the adult industry, which means this episode is going to have sexual themes, adult themes. Not something you're going to be want to listen to while you're driving your kids to school. But I encourage you to listen to it because her story is very, it's not what you may think. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to find out that she's a very personable, thoughtful young woman. And it's a very, very good episode to remind you never to judge a book by its cover. So thank you, everyone, for the support. Continue to check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Spreaker.com, and anywhere else you can get podcasts. So let's get into this week's episode. Enjoy. Welcome once again to another episode of Another Mediocre Podcast, where the show is mediocre, the host is pretty mediocre, the guests are not, and today is no different. I am I'm a bit intimidated because I have a very special guest today. Her name is Jane Cobb. She is, you've probably seen her videos on Twitter, and she's an adult film star, cam model, amongst other things, and her videos are everywhere. They're pretty awesome, if you ask me. Are you on Instagram as well?
I'm not. I'm on Twitter and Snapchat. That's the only social media I have. So if you find me elsewhere, it's not really me.
Oh, which is something you always have to worry about. There's plenty of imposters out there. So Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram sucks anyway. They're too strict.
Yeah.
So, well, how are you? Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
I'm fantastic. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'm all flustered here. I feel like I'm like that doofus in high school again, trying to talk to the hot chick at the dance. Like, so obviously, like, I did get into what other thing do you are you what other avenues are you in? Do you do like films, or are you mostly just with on cam, and do you do personal appearances, things like that?
No, my primary job is camming, so every day except Sunday, you know, because I gotta take my Game of Thrones day off. I cam every day, so when I have time outside of that, I create custom content, I shoot videos that I come up with every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And I post those on Minivids and Pornhub occasionally, stuff like that.
So you take like requests, custom videos and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. People order custom stuff. And usually it's pretty vanilla, and sometimes it's really out there. And I think the coolest thing about that is that people bring me these ideas, and I'm like, this is insane. No one else is ever going to want to see this. And some of those videos that I'm like, this is insane, have been my best-selling videos of all time. So really? It's been really cool to find people that are into things that I never would have considered on my own, but as it turns out, are really great. And they're a lot of fun to do. It's cool to be able to step into something and be like, this is so weird. I don't know how I'm going to keep a straight face. And then to be able to do it and then look at it with the straight face and be like, oh, I see myself trying not to laugh, but other people watching it and being like, oh, wow, that was really good.
On a side note, I feel like I'm the only person that does not watch Game of Thrones. I guess I'm going to have to get into that.
You know, honestly, I'm not going to be a jerk to you about it. It's not for everyone.
I've said that before to people, and I mean, Game of Thrones fans are very, very passionate about their show. I guess I'm going to have to check it out because I really feel I just don't like not being in the loop about anything. You know what I mean? So I feel like people start talking about the show, it's so great, and I'm just like, oh yeah, you know, I fell asleep at 7 on Sunday after watching the Golden Girls all day.
Yeah. Game of Thrones fans are in a lot of ways like Star Wars fans, and I've never seen Star Wars.
I get it. Star Wars fan. Yeah. Okay. Yep. That's a great analogy. Yeah. Because that's the first thing like a Star Wars fan does. They're like, you haven't seen Star Wars? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
people
yeah.
don't get it. They're like, how can you possibly not watch that? And I'm like, I've tried and I'm just not into it. It's great that you like it. It's just not my thing and it's okay.
Right. At least like with Star Wars, I feel like they try to shame you because it's really like, you know, dorks watch it. Like I'm a closet dork. Like, it's, you know, it's robots and space and laser swords and, you know what I mean? All the stuff that kept you from getting dates in high school. You know what I mean? Like, it's, so of course, like when somebody doesn't watch it, then they feel like they have the power now to shame you.
Yeah.
That's just my theory on it. I don't know. So you obviously have a very, very interesting career. How and when did you get involved in this? Or what made you decide to do this? Did you just hit you one day? Were you introduced to it by somebody? Was it something that you had always wanted to experiment with and it just took off?
Do you want the long answer or the short answer?
Well, I would prefer the long answer. The long answer is terrific.
All right. So when I was, a long time ago, when I was in about sixth grade, mm-hmm. there was a show on HBO called Real Sex.
I remember it well.
Yeah. They had an episode about fluffers for making sex toys and stuff like that. And I was like, that is the coolest job I've ever seen. As someone who was very awkward, both around people, I was homeschooled, and so I was really never around people my age, and so I didn't really learn to communicate with people my age. I was like, that's the coolest thing ever, you know? Mm-hmm. And as a middle schooler, I told friends, I was like, I want to be a fluffer when I grow up. Like, that's the job I want to do. They're all like, I want to be a veterinarian. I want to be a teacher. I'm like, I want to get guys' dicks hard for a living. And that didn't go over well. They didn't see how that could be a great career. And years and years later, I had a friend who was a cam girl. And she was explaining it. She was like, dude, somebody paid me to, she called it being a lingerie model online. And I was like, that sounds like some bullshit.
Yeah.
She was like, somebody paid to watch me put mayonnaise on bread last night. Like, it's so cool. And I was like, oh, whatever. And so like a year later, my husband had a...
Oh my God.
Yeah. My husband had gotten hurt at work and he was off waiting and fighting for workman's comp and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I lost my job. And so we were like, well, we got all these kids to support and we got to do something. Mm-hmm. And we looked back into this because I needed a job where I could work from home and where I could control my schedule. And I needed a lot of freedom with the job. And this one had it. And so we looked into it and we were like, okay, well, we're both okay with this. Let's lay down some ground rules with what we're both comfortable with and not comfortable with. And I'll do it for a day. And at the end of the day, we'll reevaluate and see where we stand. And at the end of the week and then the end of the month and the end of the year, and it's just kept on.
That's a very, very practical way to go about it. When you would think, maybe this is just me, but you would think that it would maybe be something spontaneous or there was, you know, like just, other than the fact that you originally wanted to be a fluffer since middle school, it's just a very like, it was a necessity. You're married with children. Obviously you just stated that. And it was, something that you guys sat down and very, very practically discussed. I found that fascinating. So how was your, if you don't mind me asking, you could always just tell me not answer a question, but how was it easy for your husband to be okay with this? Was it something that he was not sure about or was he on board from the beginning?
I think it was something that we were both sort of on the fence about from the beginning, and there have definitely been growing pains over the years and things that he and I have both had to learn to adjust to. No, he was an active participant in making the decision that I was going to go into this. He has always been part of the business. You don't always, I mean, you never see him on cam, but you don't always realize he's there, but he's always been a part of it. He's always got a hand in the videos that are being produced. He and I are always talking about what I can do, what we can do to grow our business, because this is really our business. So
Wow, that's a great way to put it, because it's basically you guys are it's a business venture for both of you guys. And that's, he's so involved now. You have, you said that he got hurt at work. What work was he doing? Cause I do construction, so I know that too. I actually got hurt at work, and I ended up, being out of work for a while. I did not, the cam show that I started for myself, just, it didn't do well. So I didn't do it. No, I'm just joking. I didn't. It's just nobody's paying me to put mayonnaise on bread. I don't know. But
if it helps, no one's paid me for that yet either.
that's fucking weird, dude. I'm sorry. Like that, like, do you ever get stuff like where you're just like, man, that's this guy, this might be a little weird for me. Or are you pretty open-minded about things like that?
I think there's kind of a, there's a pretty consistent line that cam girls and custom content creators give. That's like, nothing's weird. Nothing's too weird. It's just not for me. And I try to look at it like that. Sometimes I get really weird requests, and sometimes I get stuff that I'm like, no, like that's a hard pass. I'm not comfortable making that kind of content, but I can probably direct you to someone who can. But, it's not so much that it's weird. Sometimes things are eye opening, and I really never feel bad about refusing something if I'm not comfortable with it. So,
right. But you would think that too, if it's, first of all, if, you know, it's your body and stuff. So if it's something that you're not comfortable with, you shouldn't have to do it. Even if you were willing to do it and you weren't very comfortable with it, you got to think that it probably wouldn't make for a great on-screen performance, I guess, would be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I would think. I mean, now, yeah. Has there ever been, like, something that you weren't sure about, and maybe, like, your husband, since he's your partner in this business venture, just kind of, after talking to him, you thought, like, oh, yeah, maybe this might be interesting or something worth giving a try?
As far as content goes, or just the business
in
general?
Yeah, like, just or both, actually.
Yes and no. Not so much where content is concerned. Sometimes I get requests that I'm like, you know, I'm not sure about doing this or how I feel about this, because it's not so much that I have a problem with making a particular video for one person, right? Even if it's something that I'm not really into, like, yeah, if I can make a fantasy real for you, that's great for me. But sometimes there will be things that I'm like, you know, but this is that kind of video that if it gets out, or if it's misconstrued or taken in the wrong context or presented in the wrong context, it could be damaging to my business. And so I have to really consider that. And there's also that level of, every time I make something and every time I'm online, I'm very, very aware that at some point, thankfully my kids are all real small right now, but at some point my kids are going to have access to the internet without us there, right? And I know that a lot of their friends, like, this is a problem we've been dealing with this year. Kids got cell phones for Christmas, and now people are like, all these kids are like, let's make videos and post them all over YouTube. But their kids are also posting like the school they go to and the bus they ride and their house and their first and last name and everything else. And I'm like, where are your parents? And they're trying to include my kids in those videos because they're friends, you know? So internet safety, one, is something that I'm really, is really, really important to me for obvious reasons.
Absolutely.
But I'm very aware that at some point I'm going to have to answer to my kids for everything that I create and every bit of my porn that's on the internet. Because once it's there, it's never coming down. And I know that, and I knew that going into it. And so some of the stuff that that I say no to, it's not necessarily because I'm uncomfortable doing it, but because it's not something I feel like I can answer to my kids for, you know.
That, wow, that's fascinating. I really, So that's I would never have thought about that, but that makes complete sense. I have kids as well. I have five kids, and they range. My oldest is going to be 21 this month. I started real young, but my little guy, he's six. But I mean, if it's any consolation, once they hit about 15, they're going to hate you anyway. So that's yeah. Or at least that was just. I mean, they just it doesn't matter. They're like, oh yeah, Dad, you drove us all over the place. So by the way, you ruined my life. So
yeah,
but
well, I feel like maybe I can't. They won't necessarily like it when they're 15. And I know that there's coming a day when they're going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. You know, I'm so embarrassed. But I hope that I am and I will have raised them in a way that they would look at it and say, you know what? I remember you working late nights every night. And I remember you not being able to be there for this or that, or mm-hmm. always having to say, okay, but I have to hurry up and go to work as soon as we're done, and always trying to split time between us and work so that you could take care of us. And I appreciate that you put that work in and you did what you had to do and what made you happy, you know, in order to support us.
I mean,
I hope that by the time they're 30, they like me again.
So like I said, my oldest is 21. She likes me again. So you don't have to wait that long. But I mean, they get to a point where they'll understand that. And the other thing, interesting thing you said, you're doing something that you enjoy. I mean, there is a very finite amount of people in this world that can say that they make a living off of something they enjoy doing. I can't say that. I mean, I'm in construction by day. You know what I mean? That's my day job. I do it because, you know, I'm in a union, my medical benefits, I get paid pretty decently, and you know, but I don't get up every day and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to go build this bridge and have my boss scream at me and work in freezing cold weather. And you know what I mean? But
yeah.
So, I mean, so that's lucky. I mean, eventually you would think that anybody that has a job that they don't like should be able to appreciate that and quite frankly, envy that. So kudos to you.
Yeah. So. I mean, there's definitely days when I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to work. I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk to these people. I don't want to be in this room because we moved to this house specifically for the basement because I could build a studio in my basement and it could be soundproofed. And it was one, I don't want to say extra layers of protection, but I have three locked doors between me and my kids when I'm in my studio. So one, they only get to come in the basement to do laundry, right? Which is a new thing. So sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But
that's a great way to keep them out of the basement, by the way. Oh yeah, you only go down there and do laundry. When they're teenagers, you'll never see them down there.
Yeah, exactly. So they're not allowed down here to begin with, but there's always multiple layers of protection between them and my job. Not that I feel like there's anything wrong with what I do, but I think that it's important to keep those explanations and their introduction to this sort of thing age appropriate.
Yep. So before we start, I did mention to you, you gave me a very interesting answer. This one of the things I always wonder is, so your business is basically you are, you know, making fantasies for men and women, but you are a very real person. I mean, as whoever is listening to this will see by now, you're a very real person with a very real life. This is your job. Is it hard to, do you ever have issues with people not realizing that or not recognizing that, or maybe, you know, thinking that just because you are on their computer screen that they don't understand you are an actual person and this is your job?
I think I'd like to add something to the answer I gave you earlier, actually.
Perfect.
there's a pretty big divide between what happens online and in my studio. Mm-hmm. And outside of this room. And I like to tell people when I'm in here, like when I leave this room, if you see me outside of my studio, if I'm not at a porn convention or something like that, I'm not Jane anymore. Like I'm a person in real life and you don't know that person. You know Jane. And Jane loves you, but she lives in this room and in your phones and in your computers, not, you know, at the gas station or whatever. So, but thankfully I mean, I haven't been confronted by anybody ever. I don't think I've ever been recognized. No, I take that back. I've been recognized once, but the guy didn't approach me. So that was nice of him. But I live out in the middle of nowhere. We moved pretty far away from where I grew up. So I don't I have some in-laws out here, but I don't have a lot of family that I'm super close to out here. So I almost never leave home unless it's for caffeine. And so I don't really have the opportunity or really the task of trying to blend two worlds together like that. Mm-hmm. Like nobody really tries to interfere with my job. Nobody here where I live really knows what I do. And the few people that do don't care, you know?
Right. So your job and your life are very compartmentalized, and that's by design.
Yeah. Well, yes and no. I feel I really never leave work, right? Because so much of what I do is handled through the internet, which means a lot of it takes place on my phone. So 24/7, my phone is connecting me to my job. Like right now, I'm off work right now, but this has to do with my job, you know?
Right.
So it's always there. But yeah. Otherwise, like when I'm with family, it's family time, and I've got no problem putting my phone down or telling people, hey, stop talking to me. This right. isn't your time. It's right. Game of Thrones day. It's family day. Go away.
Right. Okay. Now, you made, you said you have some family out there, not much. How much of your family knows what you do for a living, and how did they handle it finding out at first, and how have they handled it since?
Years ago when I started doing this, my dad asked me, like I was at his house letting him visit the grandbabies, and he was like, are you working right now? I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? I was like, porn. And he was like, oh, are you good at it? I was like, yeah, I'm pretty good. He was like, well, you know, it's because you look like me, right? You got my good look. It's because of me that you're good. So my dad was fine with it, which I think is what most people would be concerned with.
That is hilarious. My goodness. That would probably be something that I would say too, which would actually, it would not be true at all, but you know, I'm trying to take credit for it. Oh my goodness. That is phenomenal.
My dad said something in passing about me having a job, and my mom found out what it was. And I wasn't really keeping it a secret. I just wasn't broadcasting it at the time, you know?
Right.
And so my mom asked me, and I was like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. And she started crying. And I was like, okay, I'm leaving. Bye.
Oh, man.
And I moved like a week later.
Wow. Complete polar opposite responses. Were you expecting that from your dad and your mom, those types of responses, or maybe expecting opposite responses from them? Because just as a father of daughters and things like that, I would kind of, it would probably, most people would probably think that it would be the father that had an issue like that, but he seemed to fully support you. Was that surprising?
You know, I think I was a little bit concerned. I was bracing for the impact when I told him what I did. And I was really concerned that he was going to be like, you can't do that. You know, your husband needs to take care of you and stuff. And obviously my husband's hurt. Like it's not that he wouldn't have, he could have, he was incapable of it at the time, you know, and right. It took over a year for him to get the surgery to fix his shoulder. And then like another year of rehab and stuff. Like he was messed up for a really long time. So he couldn't go out and do the things that he had been doing. Like he worked in the petrochemical industry after he got out of the army. So that's what he had done. And it's hard work and it's long hours and it takes a lot of muscle and a lot of grit. And he wasn't capable of it at the time. Like he would have, but he couldn't. So it was time for me to step up and to take care of the family. And that's what I did. So, I think I was bracing for that impact with my dad. But when my dad was like, oh, you know, you're only good because you look like me, right? You know, that's why people like you, because you look like me and you got my personality. I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know why I was scared. That's exactly the response I should have expected from my dad, because that's who my dad is. A lot of the things about me that people are like, oh, you're so funny. It's really just an exaggeration of the way my dad is.
That's funny. That's the greatest response. I think I've ever heard. That's hilarious. That's great. That's terrific. Good for your dad.
Yeah. The response I got from my mom, I really didn't know what to expect. I sort of felt like, you know, she's my mom. Of course, she's going to support me and taking care of my family. And this makes me happy. And that was not the response that I got from her. But she has accepted it. And there have been a couple things. I've won a couple, like, social media awards and stuff like that. And I've called her and been like, listen, you're my mom. You have to support me. That's your job. I don't care how old I get. This makes me happy. I'm proud of myself. I don't want to brag to other people because I feel like that's really douchey to, like, go on social media and be like, ha, I beat you bitches. What's up now? But you're my mom, so you got to listen to me say that because they're really nice people, okay? But, like, sometimes I got to beat these bitches, okay? And I did it. And she's like, yeah, you know, that's great for you. I'm proud of you. I'm glad that you're finding success in something that makes you happy. I wish you didn't have to do it. I wish you could win the lottery and sit on your ass all the time, but you can't. So I'm glad that you're happy with what you're doing. So.
Anyone close to you have a negative response to it that just never changed, or were you lucky enough not to have to deal with that?
I don't think anyone had, like, an outright negative response. I have sisters-in-law, and they were teenagers, still in school, when we moved out here and we got closer to them. And so my mother-in-law specifically asked us not to tell them what I was doing for a living, which was fine because they were technically kids, and those are her kids and her decision, so we didn't. And we used to host, like, weekend dinners and stuff like that at our house. And one of them decided that because they weren't allowed in the basement, but I came down here every night, that I must be cheating on my husband. And she was, like, telling my husband I'm cheating on him and stuff like that. And my husband's like, that's not what's going on. And, it came to a big head and to a fight, and, it didn't end well, but things have all been patched up since then. They're all grown ups now. And I feel like everybody's just, they're grown ups now, and they all have kids. They have their own stuff to deal with. So any negativity that they had toward me has been replaced with, Jane, you have more kids than me. You've been doing this longer than me. What do I do now? So I've gotten to step into that big sister role for both of them, which has been really nice for me because my mom got remarried and I was going to have an older stepsister. And I was like, this is the greatest. I'm going to have a sister. We're going to be friends. Oh my God. And she wanted nothing to do with me. Even now, she's an okay person. She's great. Yeah. We talk maybe once every 4 or 5 years.
Wow. That's, I can't imagine that. That's not nice.
Wow.
She needs to do better than that. you said you're talking about your awards you've won, and I know you said you didn't like to brag, but I would like to know.
I'll tell you all about them if you ask.
I would like to know what awards you won, and you are up for, because I just voted for one award. MV currently. Milk. Correct?
Yeah, MV MILF on Minivids. Yep, that's what I'm up for this year. And as long as I can stay in the top five, I can be considered. I had a video that sold so well. I was so impressed with myself. Let me just tell you about it, okay?
Okay,
I had this video that did so well on the site that it was top trending and stuff for a little while, like part of the summer. And that was really my first taste of, like, real success and real recognition. You know what I mean? So my video was nominated for Video of the Year. It didn't win. It didn't come anywhere close to it. I didn't get an MV award last year, but, if I can stay in the top five, I'll at least be considered this year. And I feel like that's really great. I won a few years ago. Like I said, they're social media crowns. So it's not like I went to, like, big porn conventions with the Avians or anything like that. Right. Anything. Oh, they don't know who I am, but, I won Queen of Cams, which is, a contest centered around Game of Thrones. I won that 2 years in a row, and then I left the contest completely because the second year, like the first year I won and there was a little bit of competition, but then the second year, after the first week, I had more points than the second place person had when the contest concluded.
Wow.
And I was like, this just really isn't fair for anyone else at this point. And I don't want to, like, I love my crown. Yeah, I was killing the bitches. And I didn't want to, I made my point, you know, I asserted my dominance. And then I stepped back and I stepped out. I won several monthly titles again for, it's called Social Media Crowned or Adult Model News Network, right. Something like that. So I had like for the same year, for 2016, I guess, I had like 6 solid months of me being the top girl. And then I won Best Blowjob.
And that's, I won. That's a good award.
Yeah, my husband's pretty happy about it.
I was going to say.
I won Best Blowjob, Best Girl Performance, right. And something else. I don't remember what it was.
Do you find that you have a lot of female fans as well, or maybe even more female fans than you had expected to have?
No, not at all.
Really?
I have maybe, how many Twitter followers do I have? I have probably like
13,000.
There you go. 13,000 Twitter followers right there.
Right.
I have maybe 5 female fans. And it sounds terrible, but I'm not really well liked among my community. Like the other models on my site really aren't big fans of mine. And, I'm pretty unknown when it comes to places like Minivids and stuff like that. I have my own little following that I brought to the site, but
right.
I'm not part of like the successful girl group. You know what I mean?
You're an outsider.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not that successful. I hover around like 80 to 100th place every month. So I do okay, but I certainly don't make enough to support my family off of videos alone. And right. When it comes to my cam site, you know, I mentioned growing pains earlier. I'll tell you a story so we can use some time. a few years ago, within like the first year of me being on the site that I'm on Stream8, I started and I did pretty well. I had the personality to succeed. And I feel like I came in at a time when the tides were kind of turning and customers were not so much looking for Pam Anderson anymore. They were looking for, you know, Anna Kendrick, you know, they were looking for more natural people and the girl next door and people who they could talk to and who could carry on a conversation with them. And, I came in that sweet spot. And so I had that little bit of extra boost there that helped me. But I did well because I was committed and I worked hard and I treated people well. You know, I didn't treat everybody like an ATM and stuff. So it really worked in my favor. Well, I remember vividly looking at other girls on the site and thinking, why can't I be as successful as her? Why don't people like me like they like her? And within a year, they did. And I was passing these women and I was like, wow, like I'm up here now. I'm on the top row every day. Like I log in and I know it's going to be a good night no matter what, because it's me and because I know these people like me and I know that I'm giving them what they want. And, obviously all these other girls are going to be my friend now. Like I'm one of you now. I paid my dues. I worked my way up. I'm here. I've matched or surpassed your level of success. You can talk to me and you can acknowledge me now. And they never did. And I was like, why do they all hate me? I don't get it. So there was this one chick, okay? And she did not like that I had passed her. And she had been not just a cam girl for a long time, but she had done like mainstream porn. Like she has a bunch of porn out there and stuff.
Right.
And she didn't like it. And I think that she felt threatened. And at the time, she probably should have. She's since left the site because of it. So, anyway, I don't want to say anything bad about her. She was good at what she did and she did her own thing and she's moved on to something else. And I hope that she's doing great. But at the time, she said something about, God, what did I say? Oh, I said something about, we were talking about something completely different. And I said something about that, like, those of us on the top who have worked hard to get here and maintain our place here, should not be going, being ignored or something like that, but we shouldn't get special treatment either. Like we should still have to follow all the same rules or something like that.
Right.
And, she was like, I don't know what you're even talking about because your placement's not as good as mine anyway. And I was like, that's baloney because I've been ahead of her for like the last 3 or 6 months, something like that. And So at the time, in response to her being naive, you know, and mm-hmm. not realizing that all eyes were on me because I had come up so quick and because I was so successful and because people were doing things like going from my room and going to other girls' rooms like, hey, what do you know about this girl? Have you ever worked with this girl? You should, you know, you should try to be more like this girl because she's super successful and stuff. And that is not something you ever want to say to a cam girl ever. But boners get in the way of thinking sometimes. So anyway, all eyes were on me at the time. And so she says this thing and I felt attacked and I felt like she was kind of shitting on my achievement, you know, and I couldn't have that. And so every day when I logged on, I would log on and take a screenshot of placement because she and I worked the same shift. I would take a screenshot of the placement where I was like a row to two rows ahead of her and be like, oh my God, I guess placement's broken now. I'm in the top spot again today. What could possibly be happening? Oh my goodness. Look at that. I'm the top bitch again. What the fuck's going on here? Oh my goodness. Well, it was in response
that's great.
To her. Yeah, right. You see what happened, right? It was in response to her. And I assumed, you know, because I knew it was directed at her, that everyone understood that it was directed at her. And apparently everyone thought I was just stupid and running my mouth, which was not the case. I was just talking shit to this one bitch.
Right.
But they all felt very attacked and like I was shitting on them. And so from the beginning, I laid the groundwork to be really unlikable. And eventually I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm wasting my time, like, trying to find out what she's saying about me and worrying about what she's saying about me and then trying to, like, respond to that, but not directly to her, you know, because we're women. We can't just have a conversation. So I got to be passive aggressive about it and, like, just post these messages like, oh, okay, somebody's saying some stuff about me today. Let me tell you how much money I made this week, you know? And petty stuff that women do sometimes. We never outgrow it.
And, that's amazing.
At some point I was like, you know what? I'm putting too much energy into this and this isn't making me any money. This is taking time away from my work and that's taking time away from my family. I'm done. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to seek her out. I'm not going to worry about anything she says to me. Cause at the time, you know, we had like our own sides, you know, so people were like playing both sides and sending me screenshots of what she was saying about me and stuff. And I was like, I'm just not going to worry about it anymore. It's fine. It is what it is. Not everyone has to like me and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I stopped and she kept going for a long time. I think it took her a lot longer to come to that point where she was like, oh wait, we're not doing this anymore. And so
and then that makes you the winner because.
Exactly. She just looked like a crazy person just talking to herself and awesome. Getting angry about stuff that didn't have anything to do with her. But I laid that groundwork and I mean, I made my bed and now I have to lay in it. So I don't have a lot of cam girlfriends.
Right.
But, it's all right. Cause it honestly, it saves me from a lot of drama and a lot of stress because we're a pretty high stress community.
So do you find, that you benefit from being just a regular person and also too, like your personality really comes out. I mean, it seemed very outgoing and approachable and funny. Do you think that helps you be as successful as you are?
Absolutely.
I would think so. I think that. I mean, I'm sure other people do, but I was wondering if you felt that way as well. Like just, you know, just even speaking to you, you can really just see you seem genuine, and I think that goes a long way. And obviously, you said you feel the same way. Is that something that you try to make sure that you maintain?
Well, like I said, I really value transparency, and so I'm really clear with customers and stuff like that about one, you're a customer, not a friend, mm-hmm. and two, there are boundaries and these boundaries are really important. And I make it clear over and over again, like probably at least twice a day, I'm telling people, listen, these are the boundaries. And if you cross me, it's going to be the end of you, whether you do it online and I block you and I'm done with you, or you approach me and you make me feel threatened and I live in a shoot first, ask questions later state, you know?
Right.
I grew up in Houston. We love our guns.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So, I make those things very clear, first of all. So, I also realized that, I feel like because I make those boundaries clear, it's okay for me to joke around with people and to have fun with people as much as I do. That being said, while physical attractiveness is something that is hugely, like, what people like just ranges from one end of the spectrum to the other, right? Beauty's in the eye of the beholder or whatever. I feel like there's some things that we can all agree are nice, like symmetry is nice. Everybody likes a little bit of that, you know? Cleanliness, that's cool. We're all into clean people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as far as it goes, I wouldn't say that I'm one of the most attractive people out there. I'm certainly not one of the most beautiful cam girls or content creators. There's girls that are way more beautiful than me in 100 different ways than me, right? I am not now, and I have never been one of those people who's attractive enough that I can log on and have no personality and be successful. I can't do that. And I know I can't do that. I was very awkward. Like, I've gotten better with age as far as I look, honestly. So I was forced very early when I was introduced to people that were my age. I had to communicate with people other than my mom, because that's the only person I was ever around when I was in school, because I was homeschooled, right?
Right.
I learned very early on that I had to have a personality. I had to have something to make people like me. So I came into this and I treated this the same way. And I feel like that's been really beneficial for me, because I treat people like they're people, not ATMs. And I sort of try to give them the opportunity to talk to me like a person, instead of being like, oh my God, you're a cam girl. Oh my God, you do porn. You're something else. You're an other, you know. I'm not. I'm one of you.
That's a very impressive fine line, because one would assume that, you know, people can, like you said, make that mistake where they, because they, I mean, let's face it, they are most times watching you in, one, you know, intimate moments. And so that can sometimes force people to feel like they know you. You know what I mean? That happens a lot with celebrities and stuff. And it's impressive how you're able to make that line clear, yet still be still come personable and down to earth and friendly, and that I mean it really shines through. So that makes you different from a lot of other girls out there.
Well, you know, I like it. Like I said, I'm one of you, and I want you to feel like I'm one of you. You know, like I'm that friend that you can hang out with and stuff. And I think that, I mean, you said they're watching in intimate moments, and I think that a lot of people log on for that, but the majority of the people on cam in particular who hang out with me are people who came in and they were like, yeah, I'm going to jerk off. But then they came in and I was like ripping a Nolan movie to shreds because I didn't like the way he did his job. And let me tell you how he should have done it and done it better. Or let me tell you why this movie is better than that movie. Let me, you know, let's talk about the science behind the sci-fi. Right. And, people come in and they're like, well, wait, this isn't what I was expecting. And I never shy away from things like politics and religion and big hot button type stuff. I'm always willing to talk about it. I very obviously have an opinion about it and I'll share it with you, but I'm also willing to hear the other side of it. And so I feel like people come in and they're like, I'm going to jerk off. Oh no, wait, I have to get in on this conversation. And then I'm like, oh, by the way, I have tits. And it's like a sneak attack, you know? And they're like, oh yeah, I like tits. Let me see these tits too, you know?
So
I make people very comfortable, but they come back most of the time because they've gotten that conversation. And because, I mean, honestly, a lot of people use me as like white noise in the background while they're doing other stuff. People will come home from work and turn me on and then just leave me on the entire time I'm online. And they'll pop in every once in a while and say something, but they're cleaning their house or they're, you know, doing their taxes or whatever else. And I'm just that friendly, familiar voice in the background.
That's awesome. So you could be talking about Donald Trump and somebody's still jerking off while you're doing it. That's impressive. That's a skill.
Yeah. That's one of those things I like to do in gold shows, in those big group shows. Everybody pays a little for a set amount of time.
Right.
I like to go into it and I'm like, listen, I'm going to let you know beforehand. I'm going to be talking about some fucked up shit in this show. And they're like, ha, okay. But then I do. And if I it's like a personal challenge for me, you know what I mean? So right. If I can talk about tax reform, but also make you blow a load at the same time, I feel like I've done my job. And I was telling people yesterday, you may not have the best experience with me. You may have a great experience with me. You may have an awful experience with me, but I guarantee it's going to be a memorable one. And there's people coming in every day talking about, oh my God, you were my first show like 3 years ago. Oh my God, you were my first and I still come back to you. And I feel like I'm everybody's second favorite. That's what I tell people. I'm everybody's second favorite because I'm not their top girl. I'm not the one that they, you know, blow thousands of dollars on and everything like that. And that's okay because I'm everybody's second favorite. I'm here a lot, so they have a lot of access to me. So while they're waiting for that girl, they're with me and everybody comes back to me. No matter who your top girl is, they come back to me.
I'm just going to make this a real quick, a public service announcement to the people in Washington. You need to get Jane Cobb there. She will help you with tax reform while making sure that you blow a load. Everybody will be happy. Not one person will come out of there pissed off and shit will get done. You need to run for office.
It's all legal, all right? It's above board. Listen, here's what we're going to do across the line, okay, particularly in the poorer states, places like Alabama and sometimes Georgia and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We're going to come in and we're going to legalize marijuana. We're going to decriminalize marijuana and decriminalize sex work. So prostitution is going to be, you don't get arrested for it anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, everything's better.
Yeah,
you just tax that stuff. Every state has more money. Yeah. We're going to climb out of the freaking national debt that we have right now. Problem solved. You put that money that pussy's making your state into your schools, you're going to have some of the most highly educated motherfuckers in the world.
That's right.
Why do you guys want to fight this? I'm trying to help you.
And everybody's going to have a great Friday night, too. That's you're
everybody's going to be happy.
That's it. That is you got my vote.
Business is booming, right? Sex workers are safer. That way, anytime somebody's assaulted, any sex worker's assaulted, because that's one of the things that people like to harp on is that sex workers don't report the assault and the rape and stuff like that because they'll go to jail for it. Well, now it's not illegal. Now, if somebody fucks you up like that, you go to the police and the police are going to go get that guy. Yeah. One, he's off the street. Two, you're lowering all these instances of like rape culture and all that stuff that doesn't actually exist.
Like I said, I'm on board. You got my vote. So what do you have plans beyond, the cam scene or anything else like that? Or are you just continuing with your business and expanding your business? What's next for you?
I'm not a big dreamer. Like if I won the lottery, yeah, I'm going to build a bunker and I'm going to build a house on top of it. And I'm going to have an arsenal. And I'm going to be ready for doomsday. But I don't make doomsday kind of money yet.
Right.
I'm just carrying on with what I'm doing. There's a lot of stuff. Like I said, my husband and I run the business together and he's very much more business minded. And I'm a pretty face in the front that makes people happy and helps them come back, you know? So we've talked about starting our own site, but the site was, basically Minivids with a streaming option. And then like 6 months later, Minivids popped up and we were like, oh, well, guess that's already been done.
Right.
And I feel like Minivids does a great job with it. I love that site and I can't say enough good things about them, both from a customer's perspective and the performers. And I've had tremendous success and contact with their support staff and they've been fantastic, which is unfortunately not the sort of thing that I've gotten from my campsite.
Right.
It's a lot of carrying on. That's what I want. I love this. And as long as people will come back and listen to me rant about how Chris Nolan's a terrible director.
Right.
And how Kevin Smith should direct everything.
Yes. I agree with that. I'm a Jersey guy too. Exactly. So.
Yeah, I'm all over it. As long as you guys will come back and as long as I can make a living doing this and I'm happy doing it, I'll continue doing it.
So where are the best places? You said Minivids for people to find you and check out your content.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter. That's usually the best way to get it because I post all my links there. Twitter is at OCuriousO. And that's weird. And it doesn't matter how many times I go to Twitter, I'm like, listen, give me the Jane Cobb account. They just ignore me. Hasn't been used since like 2005, but I can't have that account for some reason.
Wait, why? What is that? So what? Did you have an old account or something? Or is that, did somebody just steal your name?
No, well, no. Jane, you don't know who Jane Cobb is?
Nah. Jane Cobb is...
Jane Cobb's from a show called Firefly.
Yeah, that's right. I did find that. I did not know that because I never watched that show, but I found that out.
You Google it, looking for me, and find Adam Baldwin.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm not trying to look at this shit. This is the worst porn site ever.
Yeah, I didn't start camming on Stream8. I started on a site called Cam4, which at the time was a smoldering dumpster fire. I don't know what it's like now, but at the time it was not good. And the name that I had was Curious, right? Like Curious George. Well, that name was obviously already taken because it's basic and people always take those names first. Right. And so my husband's like, oh, well, we'll put two O's at the end of it so they look like bubbles instead of being like XX this, XX that, because everybody uses X's and it's going to be a great idea. So O Curious O was my name. And no one got it. Everybody thought it was Curioso, and they were just leaving the first O off the top or the beginning of it and missing, like, the capitalization differences. I'm like, how do you not get this? Like, do you know what I mean?
Thought you were Irish, is O apostrophe.
People thought I was Portuguese a lot. Everybody wanted me to speak Portuguese. And that was the deal there. Well, when I switched from that site to Stream8, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing really well on this side over here. Because, I mean, I was making more than minimum wage, basically. So I was like, yeah, I'm doing really well here. I need to take my name from Cam4 to Stream8 so that customers will still be able to find me. I took my name to Stream8, and so I was OCuriousO when I started on Stream8. Nobody found me. Nobody followed me. Nobody cared that I was there. And I was like, well, this is the dumbest thing ever. And Jane Cobb came up. I told people were like, what's your real name? And I was like, you can just call me Curious. And they weren't satisfied with that. And so I went with, well, Jane, like Jane Doe, you know? And I was like, oh my God, wait, Jane Cobb. Jane Cobb's the greatest. I can use this. Mm-hmm. And so a couple years in, Stream8 let me switch my name. But then everybody had been calling me Jane Cobb for a long time. But I went to Twitter. And the Jane Cobb account, because Firefly was on over a long time ago, like 20 years ago or something like that. It was a long time ago.
Right.
The account was obviously already made. Somebody made like a fan account or something. But the account hasn't been touched in so long, like over a decade. No one's used this account and Twitter won't let me have it. I'm like, but I'm the Jane Cobb. Like, I'm the Jane Cobb. Like, if you ask people, like, who's Jane Cobb? I'm the only Jane Cobb that they're coming up with.
That's right.
It's me and Adam Baldwin. That's it.
And Adam Baldwin is
on it.
Yeah, and Adam Baldwin just sucks. He's always sucked. So.
Yeah. I mean, he was pretty great as Jane.
I don't know. I didn't see it. I didn't watch the show, but. You're definitely above Adam Baldwin. He's not even the best Baldwin.
He's not. Well, I mean, he's not like a Baldwin either.
Oh.
He's not one of the Baldwins. His name just happens to be Baldwin.
Oh, well, then he doesn't get preferential treatment at all.
No, not at all. He just plays the same character that's angry all the time over and over again. But back to your point, you can find me on Twitter. It's OCuriousO. And you can find me on Snapchat, where if you talk to me, all I'm going to say is, did you need help upgrading? Or send me pictures of your pets. I love your pet stats.
Nice.
And you can find me on Cam, and that's going to be Jane_Cobb at cammodels.com.
Okay.
Or on Minivids. If you look, like I said, if you find my Twitter, you can find everything. I make it easy for you there.
Okay. And if you go on Minivids, make sure, how long can they vote for you for this year's award?
It's a few more days. We've got like a little over a week left, but as long as I can stay in the top five, I can be considered, because that's how they do it. They let you get to the top five and then they go through and choose who's going to win, I guess.
All right. So make sure if you don't get to vote this year by the time you hear this, then I'm sure you'll be up for more awards next year.
Yeah.
And
8 days. Sorry. 8 days, eight hours.
All right. 8 days, 8 hours. There you go. So, well, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on. I mean,
it was fantastic. Thanks for letting me ramble.
Oh, no, it was, I was fascinated, and funny. I had a good time. So it was very, it was a lot of fun, and, whenever you're able to do it, please, come on again. We could talk about, we could brag about more awards that you're probably going to win.
I'd love to. Get back to me in a little over a week. We'll see if I win this MOPE award. I'll come brag about that for an hour.
All right. I'm in. Thank you so much again.
Anytime.
All right. Take care. Thanks for checking out The Luke Capetta Show. Once again, you guys can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spreaker.com, SoundCloud, and YouTube. You can also check out thelukecapettashow.com for blog posts, videos, episodes, whatever you want. If you're going to be on iTunes or Google Play, please subscribe to the podcast. Give us ratings, review us. It helps us get noticed. Thanks, everybody, for the love, and see you next week.